I started a series 3 or 4 weeks ago talking about learning leadership from the best. And I truly believe this. I believe everything rises and falls on leadership. The school rises and falls on leadership. The construction company rises and falls on leadership. Everything, the home rises and falls on leadership. And I said we're all leaders. A mom's a leader. She's a leader. A coach is a leader. A nurse is a leader. We're all leaders. And here's what's so amazing. Since we've got to lead, why not learn leadership from the greatest leader who ever lived, that being Jesus Christ? Why not learn it from the best? Why not get our pail under his well? You know, you can go to Barnes & Noble. You can go to Books A Million. You can find hundreds of books on leadership. All these leadership gurus. But folks, we have an opportunity to read the best book on leadership. That book being the Bible. And to learn leadership from the greatest leader who ever lived. And we started out and we talked about leaders are servants. Always remember this. The only reason for power is to empower. If leadership becomes about you and the perks and the prestige and the power, you've missed why you're a leader. It's not about so you can be elevated. It's not about so you can get perks. Power so we can empower. And true leaders understand that leadership is about serving others. But then the second component of leadership is leaders are people of faith. They've got a positive outlook. They see a positive future. They see brighter days out ahead of us. Nobody's attracted to a critic. There's never been a statue erected to a critic. Leaders see a positive future. And then last week, we talked about leaders are givers. Leaders are not saying, how much can I take? Leaders are saying, how much can I give? Because leaders give of their time, their talent, their resources, their personalities. That's what leaders do. That's what Jesus did. And so I want us to take our Bible and I want us to go to Acts chapter 26, verse 19. And I want to talk to you about great leaders are people of vision. Great leaders are people of vision. The great apostle Paul said these words. He said, whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision. I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision. Disney World is no doubt the most popular tourist attraction in the world. It's the most popular tourist attraction in the world. I made one visit. I reached the conclusion after spending a few days at Disney World, the Catholics are correct. There really is a purgatory. The closest thing to purgatory I ever experienced was a trip to Disney World. Disney World, this massive 43-square-mile complex, 7 years in the planning. 4.5 years just to build. And on October the 1st, 1971, it was to be the grand opening, the dedication. Mr. Walt Disney had already passed. And Mrs. Walt Disney was to be the keynote speaker. The person that was going to introduce Mrs. Walt Disney stood up, looked over that vast theme park, and said these words. He said, I wish Walt could have seen this. And Mrs. Walt Disney promptly stood to her feet and said, Brother, he did. Brother, he did. Because she understood, had not Walt seen it, it would have never have been a reality. Now, ladies and gentlemen, your vision may not be that grand, and it may not be that glamorous. But I know one thing, God has put in all of our hearts a vision. That vision may be to finish nursing school. That vision may be for your children, your child, to have a better education than you did. That vision may be to open a business. That vision may be just to have a baby, just to raise that child up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. But this is what I know about all leaders. I know about all people. God's put a vision. God's put a vision in our hearts. And you know, I am convinced the ultimate visionary was the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus was the ultimate visionary. Can you imagine this baby that was born in a manger? This young boy that grew up as a carpenter. His mom and dad were very poor. He actually never crossed the borders of his country, only on one occasion, and that was when he was a baby. For just a little while, he went to Egypt because they were basically hiding from Herod, and he stayed there till Herod died. But he really never left this little country of Israel. Israel now is about the size of New Jersey. He spent most of his life just around this small body of water, the Sea of Galilee, that was 7 miles wide and 13 miles long and 200 feet deep at its deepest point. It would more be like a lake than a sea. He spent most of his time there. But let me tell you what this man who never traveled far, never experienced, never wrote a book. This man said these words in Matthew 28 and 19. He said, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations." I mean, the guy that really, really never left his nation, he said, "Go teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost." I mean, he said this to a group of fishermen. Folks, there were no automobiles. There was no printing press. There was no satellite. There was no computer. There was no internet. He said to these fishermen, "Take this gospel to the entire world." I know you've never been outside of Israel. I know you've never been outside of the Sea of Galilee. But take this gospel to the entire world. Because Jesus Christ was the consummate, ultimate visionary. And leaders are people of vision. You know, you hear a lot about the evidence, the indication of being filled with God's Spirit. And by the way, folks, we need God's Spirit more than we need anything else. We need the Holy Spirit more than we need anything else. The Holy Spirit's not a Pentecostal thing. The Holy Spirit's not a Baptist thing. The Holy Spirit's not a Methodist thing. He's not an energy. He's not an enthusiasm. He's a person, and we desperately need Him. We desperately need Him. But an indicator of being filled with God's Spirit is in Acts chapter 2, verse 17. He said, "When the Spirit comes upon you, your young men, they'll see visions, and your old men will dream dreams." Let me just make this injection. I'm still seeing visions. Now, what I want us to do, this man, the Apostle Paul, who said, "I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision," I want us to take his vision experience, and I want us to go through it, because I promise you this, it will parallel with your vision experience, because God's put a vision in all of our hearts. Component number one is this: a vision will stop you. A vision will stop you. Let me explain. Paul had been in prison. He's standing before King Agrippa. He's given his defense. And he incorporates his testimony into his defense. He said, "I was persecuting. I was persecuting Christians. But one day I was on the road to Damascus. And," he said, "there was a light that shined down from heaven. brighter than the noonday sun. And he said, it literally stopped me in my tracks. Now, here's what I want you to understand. Your vision may not be that profound. It may not be that huge. But I want you to know, when God places something on your heart, ladies and gentlemen, it will stop you in your tracks. When God places a vision on your heart, nothing else seemingly matters. It may be to graduate from college. It may be to have a baby. It may be to get out of debt so you can really bless people. But when God places a vision on your heart, ladies and gentlemen, nothing else matters. It's kind of like, you remember when you fell in love. How many of you remember when you fell in love? If you're married, you better raise your hand. You remember when you fell in love. And folks, if you'll go back, after you fell in love, nothing else mattered. All the relationships prior to that, they didn't matter anymore, because all mattered was the relationship that you're in right now. All those relationships before, they were just ground beef. But you found prime rib, amen? Nothing else mattered before. And folks, let me tell you something. When God places a vision on your heart, nothing else matters. It just stops you in your tracks. It won't go away, because Philippians 2 and 13 says, for it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do his good pleasure. And ladies and gentlemen, I want you to know something. You'll be remembered in life for your obsession. You'll be remembered in life for your obsession. Whatever you're obsessed with, that vision that God's placed on your heart, that is all that matters. Let me tell you something. A vision, it will stop you. But I tell you something else. A vision will startle you. A vision will startle you. You know, in Acts 26 and 14, when Paul got the vision, he literally fell to the ground. You say, why did he fall? Because he was scared. I read a book this week by Mark Batterson. I've read all of his books. But he wrote his latest book is entitled Chase the Lion. It's the sequel to the book In the Pit with a Lion on a Snowy Day. It's a great book. But in this book, Chase the Lion, Mark Batterson said these words. He said, if a dream doesn't scare you, it's too small. If a dream doesn't scare you, it's too small. Ladies and gentlemen, if our prayers are not impossible with men, they're an insult to God. Somebody said, oh, Pastor Benny, if it's from God, you'll just have all this confidence. No, 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 folks. Sometimes when God gives you a vision, you'll be scared to death. It reminds me of the story of the little boy in Louisiana. His mom says, Johnny, go down to the lake and get some water. He grabs a bucket and starts down to the lake. Big alligator lifts his head up. And old Johnny runs like a scalded dog. He gets back and his mom says, Johnny, what about the water? She says, oh, Mom, I got down there to that lake and this big alligator sticked his head up. And I was scared and I ran. She said, oh, Johnny, you should have got the water. You should have got the water. Because that alligator was probably as scared of you as you were him. He said, Mom, if that alligator is as scared of me as I was him, that water's not fit to drink anyway. Let me tell you, folks. Somebody said, if everything's just right, there won't be any fear. Let me tell you something, folks. Everything won't ever be just right. Ecclesiastes 11:4 says, he that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the cloud shall not reap. Folks, if you wait till everything's just right, you'll never accomplish anything. You say, we're going to get married when we're able to afford it. You'll never get married. We're going to have children when we're able to afford it. You'll never have children. If you wait till everything's just right to do something, ladies and gentlemen, you'll never do anything. Because I'll tell you what a vision will do. A vision will stop you. I'll tell you what a vision will do. A vision will startle you. To quote the great theologian John Wayne. John Wayne said, courage is being scared to death and saddling up anyway. That's what courage is, ladies and gentlemen. It's being scared to death, but putting your hand in the hand of the Lord and saying, I'm scared to death, but if God be for me, who can be against me? I'll tell you what a vision will do. A vision will stop you. I'll tell you what a vision will do. A vision will startle you. I'll tell you what a vision will do. A vision will send you. You say, Pastor, what are you talking about? Well, let me tell you. A vision will show you a couple things. First of all, a vision will show you your position. When God gives you a vision, according to verse 14, it will show you what you're doing. But a vision will also show you what you're not doing. You say, what do you mean? God gives you a vision to start a business. You say, Pastor, I've got this vision to start a business. Okay. But if you've got that vision to start a business, God will also show you your finances are in a mess. And in order to start the business, you've got to correct your finances. They're in a mess. Because a vision will show you your position. You say, well, Pastor, God's given me a vision to get healthy. That's wonderful. But if God's given you a vision to get healthy, that means he's also given you a vision, perhaps, to lose 65 pounds. God's given me a vision to get healthy. Well, if God's given you a vision to get healthy, he's also showing you, you need to put down the cigarettes. You okay? I'm not, listen, my mother smokes. And I've told her, Mama's two steps to getting over it. And your son, I want to help you. She said, Benny, what are the two steps? I said, stop and suffer. I told it to a guy years ago. He said, it's working. I saw him the other day. I said, how's that working? He said, it's working great. He said, the only time I want one is when I'm awake. See, a vision will show you your position. But let me tell you something else. A vision will also show you your potential. If you look at verse 16 through 18, he said, Saul, get up. I've got a purpose for you. I'm going to use you to share the gospel with the Gentiles. See, a vision, not only, ladies and gentlemen, it shows you where you're at, and perhaps that needs to improve, but it also shows you what you can become. I was reading about a young man in 1975. He said, I had no direction in my life. I was flunking out of college. Because I was flunking out of college, I thought about joining the Army. Only because I was flunking out of college. And he said, my mother ran a beauty shop. And he said, I went in Mama's beauty shop. Ruth Green was underneath the dryer. Ruth Green saw me. And Ruth Green said, can I get a piece of paper? Somebody handed this elderly lady, Ruth Green, who was underneath the dryer, getting her hair dry, a piece of paper. This young man said, she looked at me and wrote on this piece of paper, you will speak to millions, you will travel the world and make a positive difference. He said, I took that piece of paper. He said, I put it in my wallet. I've carried it to this day. But he said, not only did I put it in my wallet, and not only have I carried it to this day, I carried it in my heart. And his name was Denzel Washington. Now, here's what's amazing. You say, Pastor, that's a great story. Let me tell you a greater story. God looks at you. And he said, he wrote down to you on a little piece of paper that you can carry it in your wallet, in your purse, but more than that, you can carry it in your heart. And that piece of paper says, Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. Ladies and gentlemen, God sees potential in people. And let me tell you what a vision will do. A vision will stop you. A vision will startle you. A vision will send you. But I tell you what else. A vision will strengthen you. It will strengthen you. See, sometimes, folks, we get it in our minds. If you look at verse 20 through verse 22, God told Paul, now I've given you this vision, but you're going to have some hard times. You're going to have difficult times. We miss it. We think sometimes, because we've got a vision from God, there are going to be no difficulties. I have pastors call me every week and say, I'm resigning. Got some members, I'm having problems. I said, well, they said, what do you think? And I said, well, it'd be easier for them to move their membership than you move your furniture. Here's what I say. Folks, there'll always be problems. But that doesn't mean that you're not a part of the vision that God's got for you. It's probably an indicator that you are a part of the vision that God's got for you. Just because you're doing God's plan doesn't mean there won't be any problems. He said, in the land of Canaan, it's a land of milk and honey. Somebody told me, said, if you take a spoonful of honey before you run, Pastor Benny, it's good for an extra mile. So every time I run, if I can remember it, my memory's, you know, coming and going. Barbara and I are working with each other, though, on as we get older. We've got an agreement. We're a couple. We've got an agreement. And this is the agreement. I said, Barbara, if you'll remember who we are, I'll remember where we're going. So we're working together on it. What I remember, I go in there, and I get honey. But I always think about this. You know ever who gathered the honey? They probably went through some stings. If you know anything about bees, you get the honey, but you get some stings. Land of milk and honey. You get the honey, but you're going to get some stings. You get the milk. I grew up on a farm. Before daylight, you'd go out. You'd milk. It'd be before daylight. And sometimes you're going out there where those little cows have been. You get in the stuff. Oh, folks, let me tell you something. If you're going to get the milk and the honey, you're going to get some stings and stuff. And if you can't handle the stings and stuff, you're not going to get the milk and honey. If you want the milk and honey, you got to handle the stings and stuff. A vision will strengthen you. I'll tell you what else a vision will do. A vision will stretch you. You'll become what you never could have became without the vision. Because a vision will stretch you. I promise it will. You got to stay focused on the vision. You know who's the greatest example? Jesus Christ. Think about what Hebrews 12:2 said. In Hebrews 12:2, look what the scripture says. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. How did he get through the cross? He focused on the joy. He focused on us. He focused on the vision. He focused on the ultimate. Folks, we got to stay focused on the vision. You got to stay focused on the ultimate. Let me tell you this last thing and I close. A vision will satisfy you. Paul said, I'm grateful I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision. Somebody said, great it is to dream a dream when you stand at youth by a starry stream, but greater still is to fight life through and say in the end, the dream was true. There's no joy in easy sailing when skies are clear and blue, nor is there joy in doing what anyone can do. But there is some satisfaction that's mighty sweet to take when you reach that destination no one ever thought you'd make. I read a story about some men that was climbing the Alps mountains. And it was a story about mountain climbers. And there was this guy. Who owned a cabin. He owned a lodge about halfway up the mountain. And he said every morning, those mountain climbers would start out. And he said about lunchtime, they would get to his place. And they would walk into his place, and the coffee would be brewing. The hot chocolate would be ready. Lunch would be on the table. The fire would be crackling. The music would be soft. And he said they'd all come in and have that meal. And he said unequivocally, half of them would stop. And they'd stop, they'd take their gear off, they'd never put the gear back on. But he said the other half put the gear on, and they'd head up the mountain. And he said, you know, after they'd been gone for 30 minutes, everybody'd be laughing. After they'd be gone an hour, everybody'd be laughing. An hour and a half, everybody'd be laughing. But he said after about 2 hours, it would start getting quiet. And after about 3 or 3.5 hours, he would notice those climbers would start looking out the window, looking for those other climbers to come down. And he said always there was a sadness in those that didn't finish the journey. You listen to me closely. The devil will provide sheltering places along the way. He'll provide a sheltering place along the way for your marriage. A place just to stop and not climb the mountain. He'll find a sheltering place along the way for your ministry. So you just stop. They don't appreciate me. I'm not doing it anymore. He'll find a sheltering place along the way for your career. But folks, you'll never be happy. You'll never be happy until you fulfill God's vision for your life. Let me tell you something. When we're talking about vision, it don't have to be grand and glamorous. Your vision can be your children coming to faith in Jesus Christ. Your vision can be your children living for Him. Wouldn't it be horrible? Wouldn't it be horrible for your children to not know the Lord? What have you accomplished if that happens? Let me tell you something. What have I accomplished, folks, if I preach and minister, but my children don't know the Lord? Somebody said, Pastor, you can't take anything to heaven with you. Oh, yeah, yes, you can. You can take your family. You can take your family. I want to confess something to you today. I want to be famous. I want to be famous at home. I want to be famous at home. Can't be famous at home if you don't go home. I remember years ago, Cameron, there was this boy I saw, and I spoke to him, and he told me who his daddy was. And I said, your daddy was my hero. Nobody could preach like your daddy. Oh, he was an orator. He was a great man of God. Your daddy was wonderful. Oh, I loved your daddy. And that boy said to me, I wish I had known him. I wish I had known him. Folks, what have we accomplished? What's Benny Tate accomplished if Savannah Abigail at Vanderbilt didn't know him? What have I accomplished if I win the world of God? Don't reach my family. Let me tell you, folks, what's been heavy on my heart. We need a vision, but it needs to start with our family. Needs to start with our family. We need to get a vision for our family to be everything they need to be with the Lord. I'll tell you just reality. I've gone too long. But I remember when I found out Savannah, we were adopting her. I never will forget. We was in that small church, and I went to the back classroom, and I got down on my knees. And I said, God, we've had dogs, we've had fish, we've had hamsters, we've had everything. But Lord, I've never had a child. And I said, she's got a soul. And she's going to live forever. And oh, God, I've got a great responsibility. And Brother Joe, my vision has been for that girl to live for the Lord. For that girl to know the Lord. That's my heart. That's my passion. Everything else, what matters if we don't impact our families? If everybody knows our name, we don't reach our families, what have we accomplished? If ever we're happy and we're buying this, and I've got this new house and this new car and this new boat, and we're going here, but your family doesn't know the Lord. All that other doesn't matter. What does that really matter? I'm moving up at work. Oh, that's wonderful. But if your family doesn't know the Lord, we've missed it, folks. That's all that matters. Talked to a dear friend of mine this week. He didn't realize I got off the phone with him. He just wept. He said, my brother passed. Preacher Benny, he wasn't a Christian. I laid the phone down and just wept. Because there was nothing I could do. But folks, if your family's alive, it's not too late for them. It's not too late. It's not too late. That's where a vision starts. Starts with being famous at home, with our children, our grandchildren, our loved ones. That's where it starts.
Friend, I trust the message today has spoken to your heart. And if you've never accepted Christ as your personal Savior, I want to challenge you to do that today. It's the greatest decision you'll ever make. And I've often said, it's as simple as ABC. A stands for acknowledge. You've got to acknowledge that you're a sinner. B stands for believe. You've got to believe that Christ and His blood was shed on the cross for your sin. And then C, you simply must confess your sins to Him. I want to encourage you right now to repeat a simple prayer with me. I'll pray the prayer. You repeat it with me if you'd like to accept Christ as your personal Savior. Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. But God, I'm sorry for my sin. I'm so sorry, I want to change. I believe that you died for my sin, and I confess my sin to you right now. Come into my heart, Lord, and forgive me of all my sin. Now thank you, Lord, for forgiving me. Thank you for coming in to my life. Amen. Friend, congratulations. on the greatest decision that you'll ever make. And I want you to know, this decision is not based on how you feel right now, because God's not a feeling. He's a fact. This decision is based on the fact that you have done what God's Word says you must do to have eternal life. So congratulations on the greatest decision you'll ever make, and thank you for being with us today. God bless you, and we'll see you soon.